Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, and this is Tammy.
Good morning, everyone.
Lynn, with the hyphen. How's it going, Tam?
It's going good today.
What's new? What's news?
Oh, the little baby chicks are going to be born in the next few days.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Cycle of life. Coming to you from the Great Lakes area, beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Sunday, March 10th, 2024. Coming right up is the book of Acts chapter 20. Don't you dare miss it. There's a lot of great stuff in Acts chapter 20 about, like, you can import human character. It's never changed. There's nothing new under the sun. Import human character, what happened then, and what's happening now on a world stage, and you'll see, like God's always teaching us. There's, what does he say in the Bible, Tammy? He says, all these things were for examples for us in these end times. Like, he's just letting us know. Jesus Christ tells us all things as it's written. He's your best friend. Here we go. Acts chapter 20 and verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. All right, man, we got out of this one, right? All right, you know what? We got to watch this. When there's an obscene mob scene forming, like in the last chapter, it's like they just would riot about anything. In fact, it even said they don't even know what they're upset about or angry about. They're just going out there burning stuff, and they're just looking for the lynch mob. It's like a death squad. And we see that on the world stage today, too. We see people protesting, and half of them, I bet you, don't even know what they're really protesting about.
No, they don't.
You know, they just want to be out there with that mob mentality and just hate-fueled mob mentality. Find something better to do, man. That's what I keep saying. You know, did these people have nothing better to do? So Paul's hugging everybody, going, okay, we got out of that one. Now it's time for us to dip, man. Let's get out of here. People are just amped up to riot over anything. They stand for nothing, fall for everything, and just are fueled by hate. You need the love of Christ in your heart, and that's all there is to it. You know, we know that. You know, it's about forgiveness, coming to an understanding of other people. And verse 2. Chapter 20, Acts. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, that's encouragement. It's okay, you guys, encouragement, right? He's like the captain of the hockey team, right? He came into Greece. Always encouraging each other and not like, never let the negative come in. Like, the world is such a negative place. The love of Christ in your heart is positive. We know. We have victory in the end, and we pray for the whole human family always. Even these people that form these mob mentality, mob scenes, just full of hatred, like the distrust and disorder and chaos and division leads to pandemonium, like civil pandemonium. And we see it on the world stage today. Where is this coming from? Not our Lord Jesus Christ. It's coming from the magistrate of the world, Satan himself. He instigates it, and all the evil in the world comes from the human heart, just perpetuating it, you know, through spiritually dead people. We pray for everybody. So these guys jump on a ship. No, they're there for 3 months, so they're chilling. When the Jews laid wait for him, what an epic drag. Imagine having these people constantly following you around, plotting back then to kill him. They wanted to kill him, like, because it's the same today. They want to kill the truth. And it's way easier today. Like, you don't have to go out and commit murder, but God considers slander murder. Like, when people don't like the videos and they downvote, or all that work we did on Quora, that social media outlet Quora, and just to get, oh, you can't advertise Jesus Christ here anymore. Someone didn't like what we said, someone like what I said. You can't advertise Jesus Christ on YouTube. 800 million videos on YouTube. So if you're watching this, it is a miracle. Press like and subscribe, not for us, but to get the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world, help the algorithms. Yeah, you can't advertise Jesus Christ on YouTube. It was just a kick in the gut. Are you kidding me? You know, like right now in the last minute that we were talking, 2.5 million people have logged on to pornography. And that's just the one site. And that just makes me sick. The moral decay of society, like this, the self-centered, overfed, unconcerned people. Like, morals is the benchmark for human values and human virtues. In the last minute that we've been talking, I can pretty much guarantee you're the only one watching this. God's watching you. God loves you. He wants his children back. What about the other 2.5 million people that just logged on to pornography? Like, this is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And those statistics are from 2018. It just made me vomit. And I can dog it because I walked it and Jesus Christ was there. He got me out of that prison. He'll get you out of those prisons too. But what I'm saying is, like, let's get the word of God. God out there, help glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving word. These Jews, this here, adjective, it means the lead clergy and their followers. That was the mainstream churchy church of the time, just like the churches today. They don't want to teach the truth. It's not convenient. They want to sugarcoat the truth. And that's against God's rules. Remember Ezekiel chapter 13. He said, I got my outstretched arms. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't soften it up. And don't teach my children to fly to save their souls either. That rapture, ridiculous theory. So they're laying wait for him, like they're watching him. They're not in church doing a church job, serving God. They're looking to murder. That's premeditated murder. It's in their heart. And he was about to sail into Syria. He proposed to return through Macedonia. That's covert action. Okay, listen, man, we're going to get snuffed here if we, you know, walk right into this. Let's be smart about things. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater, Berea, and of the Thessalonians. We have, I believe, two books to the Thessalonians. Artichas, Secundus, Gaius, Derbus, Timothy. There's our Timothy, two books to Timothy, too. And of Asia, Titus and Trophus. Now, remember Titus. If you read Ephesians, Colossians, and 2 Timothy and Titus, he's mentioned in there, this Titus. And he was with Paul when Paul got busted for what? And went to jail for what? And didn't get bail for what? Teaching the Bible. That's all he was doing, teaching the Bible. That's how much people hate the truth. It's not convenient for them. They have deeply ingrained habits of thoughts, and they can't get over them because of their ego. They don't want to hear the truth. And Titus and Paul did some time together. These going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came into Troas in 5 days and abode 7 days. Five, grace. Seven, spiritual completeness. Unleavened bread, that's our Passover. Do you notice it doesn't say Easter? People say, is Easter in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. They put it in the Bible. I'll tell you, it is in the Bible. It's under a different name. When people say, so when you go to Acts chapter 12 and you see the word Easter there, the translator was obviously, you know, I don't know what he was doing. Because it's the word Pascha, Passover, Passover 79 times. You want to see Easter in the Bible? It's the word grove. From the manuscripts through the lexicon, in these English Bibles, the word grove or Ashtaroth, and it was a lewd sexual orgy in the springtime. That's what those fertility symbols are. It's a pagan sexual fertility celebration. Free love. The eggs are fertility symbols, same with those rabbits, and it worked its way into the church, and it's still there today. It's disgusting. God hates it. And you can do, I've done lots of videos on Easter versus Passover. Anyways, unleavened bread, Passover, gives us a little timeline going here. And upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight. What do you do with your buddies? What do we do? If we're down the road and, you know, I'm hanging out with my friends and I got to go somewhere for a couple weeks, we're going to get drunk and smoke cigarettes all night long. What do these guys do? This is what we're supposed to do, right? Preach with them, you know, not a drunken going away party. Do you see the discipline? Do you know what meek means in the Hebrew? Totally opposite to what meek means in the English. Yeah. Meek in the English means easily imposed upon and submissive. But meek in the Hebrew means to afflict yourself with self-discipline. Learn to say no to yourself in the face of all those vain ideologies and temptations. Like, have some self-discipline. And you feel better. It's the difference between happiness and pleasure. Pursuing pleasure always leads to escalation. You'll never find happiness. It's endless. Just ask Solomon. As if that guy didn't have everything on planet Earth right at his fingertips. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, so they were having church, right? They're preached unto them the word of God, and they gathered together, and they sat. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, which literally means fortunate, being fallen into a deep sleep. Why? Paul was preaching and preaching. He sunk down with a sleep, fell down from the third floor, and was taken up dead. Probably Paul was teaching the first 8 chapters of Chronicles. I don't know if you ever tried to get through those before. It's genealogy after genealogy. Like, what's that thing when you can't sleep at night?
Insomnia.
Onsomnia.
Insomnia. don't do it.
Just get into the first few chapters of Chronicles. You'll be sleeping. All right. So this guy fell out of the window, and Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, listen, he's just knocked out. Everybody be quiet. Don't start freaking out and making a scene, because the whole neighborhood's going to come out and make a scene also. And look what happened. These people are just amped up to riot over anything. So just Paul's like, hush up. He's okay. He just got knocked out, right? And when he therefore came up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, all night long, right to the break of day, sun's coming up, and it was time for Paul to jet. And they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. In other words, translator, they were really happy. He's fine. He's not all broken up or nothing. He's just like, okay, he fell out the window. You're fine, right? And they went before to ship and sailed into Assos. They're intending to take in Paul, so our first soul had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. All right, so they're making plans here, and then Paul wants to hoof it. That's fine. And when he had met it, like, he walked 20 miles for some reason. Obviously, he liked hanging out with the assholes. I'm one of the assholes. That's where I'm from. That's what people call me. That's why I know. That's my heritage.
Well, I think I might have called you that a few times.
That's my heritage. I'm proud. I got my hometown. Shout out to my hometown. Assholes. And that's why I get called an asshole. Now, I feel so much better. The Bible always is the most comforting book. The Bible comforts me in so many ways. Thank you for helping me understand my heritage. I am an asshole from Assholes. And Paul wanted to trip around with my relatives. That's awesome. They took a 20-mile walk from Assos all the way down to Mytilene. So they went down there because there was better seafood buffet restaurants. And 15, and they sailed thence and came next day over to Chios. And the next day arrived at Samos and tarried at Troglium. And the next day came to Miletus. So they're tripping around town to town. You understand? There's these little towns, little villages, all independent food systems, all working together the way God intended it. It's not about supermarkets. It's about local markets, about caring for each other, sacrificing for each other. Of course, greed and gluttony got in here, but these small towns, which, you know, basically don't really exist anymore. Everything's going into big metropolitan cities, right?
Yeah, by design,
they would have a different dialect in these small towns, too. You know, you'd walk to, you know, the next town, like even up here. We go over to Scone from, you know, we're in rural area here, but we go into town, going to Scone. Like, those people talk way different because they're those hardcore Mennonites, right?
Right.
So back then, everywhere you went, there'd be somewhat of a different dialect. So when it talked about speaking in tongues, everybody understood in their own dialect. Perfect clarity. That's God, the God of clarity, the God of certainty. Not flopping on the floor like a fish like these churches around here say. Because they're biblically illiterate. We pray for everybody, don't we, Tammy? Pray for everybody. What verse are we on here? My page flipped, I think.
You were doing 15.
16. And Paul was determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia. Yeah, he sent a letter to Ephesians 2. He had some bros there. And he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem in the day of Pentecost. He's got 50 days, 7 Sundays to get up there. Paul's on a mission, right? And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Oh, aren't these just my favorite people? All right, let's see. Maybe back then they were different, not so crusty. 18. And they came down, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, listen, you elders, you got a leash on you. You have some discipline. There's rules for elders. You're either a preaching elder, so you show up with two at somebody's house, or you're a business elder. You got no business with me, elder, because I have minus 10 cents in my bank account, and you know that, and I'm squatting here. So what were you doing here without a Bible? Oh, looking at my hay fields. Interesting. Very interesting. Then I got kicked out of the church. Okay, so you can't say nothing. They think they're beyond all criticism. And you know that from the first day that I was in Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord. This is the manner I was, serving the Lord, not falling off some bar stool somewhere or leaning up against a post smoking a cigarette all day. Right, Tammy?
What year?
Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. It's in my mind, it's in my construct, it's in my mental disposition, and with many tears, like I'm into it, I feel it. It's passion and temptations which befell by me by the lying and weight of the Jews. They had nothing better to do. They're just sitting there. I'd be teaching the Bible. Paul's teaching the Bible, and you see them peeking around the corner. What are they thinking? No, let's fellowship together. Let's talk about things, think about things. We're going to kill him. They want to kill you. That's what the churches do today. Mainstream everything is saturated. It's just destitute of truth, including mainstream Christianity. It's the saddest thing. We pray for everybody. Of course, Satan defiled the sanctuary. He comes after the churches, and he's doing a great job. Okay, these Jews, this isn't a race thing at all. Or it would say of the posterity of Judah, fourth out of the 12 tribes of Israel, born of Leah from Jacob. It doesn't say that, does it? This is Judaeos. This means the lead clergy and their followers hunting down like a death squad. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. I wasn't hiding. I wasn't sugarcoating nothing. And people that are offended by God's word are offended by Christ. What are you going to do, you know, when you meet your Lord Jesus Christ? Tell him that when you meet him. I was offended by some of this Jesus Christ. It wasn't convenient for me. Don't you know my lifestyle? Jesus Christ, yeah, I knew you. I watched you. We're all watching you. All the angels, just beyond our current perception of physics, we're watching you. You ambassador of arrogance. Depart from me. You never took the time to get to know me. What do you think? I'm going to sit down with you? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, you're going to sit down with him and rewrite the Bible? These promises are written in the councils of eternity. This is how it's going down. And if you don't like it, God says, go ahead. You can go play somewhere else. It hurts me. What more could I do? I want my children back. But you can't come into the kingdom of heaven with your ideologies that are contrary to mine. Who do you think you are? You can't govern yourself. Look at the world stage today. You can go to the lake of fire. You know, it hurts us, it hurts everybody that you can't get over yourself, that you think that your preferences determine the truth. Jesus Christ is the perfect truth, and the truth will set you free. If you want to be bound by your own ideologies that are burning, that's burning emotion. That's what the lake of fire is. Lake simply means harbor or haven from the manuscripts, not from Hollywood or from these Christian Hollywood people that, oh, you're going to burn there on fire. Like I say to these people, what do you think? God is a Hitler? He's going to be burning people while we're watching? You kidding? He gives them a harbor or a haven where they can take the internal passion of the mind, the burning emotion, what they've conceived inside them, and you can have it and you can run your mouth for an eternity. You can have it. That's what you like. And we pray for those people. We don't want to see anyone go to the outside, but we pray hardcore. Let go of those ideologies. It takes humbling. You have to be brutally honest with yourself. Brutally honest with yourself. And just know this. Hell will accept you just the way you are. Isn't that just daunting, eh?
I know.
Just talk. There's going to be a great separation of people. God has nothing to prove to us. We have everything to prove to God. We're in a fallen condition. We put ourselves here. We fell out of harmony with the universe. There's something inside of each and every one of us that is not conducive to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. God gave us his only begotten son to show us the way. He is the light. He is the truth. He is that great separating force between right and wrong, good and evil, and heaven and hell. And if you don't accept that, God says that's fine. You'll be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. You can have it. That's your comfort zone, to constantly be arguing, trying to prove yourself right. You know, trying to talk to people today, they think everything is an argument. Like the art of conversation doesn't even comprehend that wisdom is the process of finding out your intuitions were wrong. And don't even try and bother to what is that? Proverbs 9:8. Reason with a scorner or a mocker. These ambassadors of arrogance, right? You have to be careful. Don't cast your pearls before swine if they're just going to sit there and just hate on you through their passive aggressive, hatred by projecting hate on you. It's hate. If you can't even talk. Don't even bother to try and reason with a scorner, because they will hate you. And that word in the Hebrew is sane. It's a personal hatred. You can see them. You can see that glow on the mocker's face. Reason with the wise man, and he will love you. Because we talk about things and think about things. What verse are we on?
21.
Paul wasn't hiding. He was doing it publicly, testifying to both Jews and also to the Greeks. Whomsoever will. Repentance. That means change of heart towards the sin itself. You have a change of attitude towards the sin of sin itself. It's not because of an aftercare or consequences. It's a change of heart. That's what repentance means. Towards God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ, unadulterated faith and belief, so that we can have relief with our Lord Jesus Christ. Confide in the Lord so we can abide in the Lord. You seek him out and inquire of him to understand so we can stand with the Lord. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. This is my moral obligation. It's like me and Tammy. He had a moral obligation too. God allowed him wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, strength, so that we can understand this book. I understand this book. So what am I doing spending all my time trying to teach it to others? Because it's my moral obligation. I have to, because I love you without even knowing you. The same way people hate each other without even knowing each other. We want to get back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. All the angels rejoice when one of us repents. Because we want to get on with the affairs of time to cohabitate with God in his circuits of time. Read Psalms chapter 90. Remember, we used to all shout out and sing for joy, the whole human family in totality. In infinite felicity, God made us for his joy, for his pleasure, for his glory. And if you don't want to glory God, you can go play somewhere else. And that's the saddest thing. Save that the Holy Spirit. Okay, so bound by the Spirit. That means he's saying his prayers. Holy Spirit's telling him, hey, you better teach the Bible. Save that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide in me. What's this affliction? Is this Philippo? Says tribulations there, preacher and midtrib guy. Like Jesus Christ in John 16. You're going through tribulation now. They're going through tribulation now. We all have to get tested. I don't know who these people think they are. I'm not going through tribulation. Like, who do they think they are? They're wrapped in money, arrogant. That's who they are. 21 times, tribulations, afflictions, the obstructions of tribulations surround me. It's what Paul's saying. You know, it's not easy. When you surrender your entire existence, throw over to the Lord Jesus Christ, be ready to get attacked by Satan. Be ready to say this prayer every day. My Lord Jesus Christ, I can thank you. After you repent and cleanse and understand Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive you on a judicial level that is universally recognized to allow you judicial clearance back into the kingdom of heaven. Then once you're cleansed, you immediately pray, my Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the power you so graciously bestowed upon me. That is universally recognized. I rebuke Satan, all evil spirits, demons, devils, all powers and principalities of Satan, everything that is offensive to you and your kingdom, my Lord Jesus Christ. I rebuke from inside me and all around me, and Tammy too. I pray for your love to saturate our heart. I pray for your Holy Spirit to saturate our entire existence. Please cover us with your veil. Wrap us in your vesture. Please hold my hand. Please hold our hand, Lord Jesus Christ. What? You are my shepherd. I shall not want another. My good shepherd, my great shepherd. You are my only shepherd, my Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's how you protect yourself and your family and your household.
Read.
Do you know what verse we're on?
24.
Yeah, okay. But none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear to myself. Listen, I'm going for it, man. And they want to physically kill me. Bring it. Just do it. I know where I'm going when I die. You guys can have the blood on your hands so that I mightily finish my course. I got a job to do, and I'm doing it with joy, not grudgingly. See that word, with joy? I'm not doing it grudgingly. If God's word is like grudgingly to you, if it's an inconvenience, I think you better do some humbling or just prepare yourself for the highway to hell. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God, that is our mission also. To glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving word, whatever God-given talent you have, God expects you to use it in the many-member body of Christ. And you can get a hold of us here. Please email us, like all the people. Ireland, Africa, like I'm looking at the metrics. Right? I'm going, look, all these people, all through the United States, hardly anybody in Canada, but email us. We need to hear from you. It keeps us going. Just to say hi, be part of the many-member body of Christ and identify yourself so we can pray for you. Set yourself aside. Email companionchapel@gmail.com. And if you can help us out here, like we've been getting help lately, companionchapel.com, with whatever you can help us out with to keep the lights on and to help promote God's word. This is a registered nonprofit. And we pray for those people that have financially been helping us. Like, it's not going to increase our lifestyle. Look around.
Yeah.
Like, we're squatting here. It's to get God's word out there to a hurting world. Okay, so, and now, behold, I know that you all among who I've gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. That's a big emotional verse he's saying, but see you guys later, man. I'll see you on the other side. don't worry. You'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there waiting for you. But you're not going to see me in the flesh anymore. Yeah, that's big emotional. You know, when you know you're not going to, someone dies. You know, it's human emotion, right? Okay, 25, 26 and 27 are big time verses. Let's hit this hard. Wherefore, I take you record to state that I am pure from the blood of all men. Interesting. 27, to explain it. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. I didn't hold anything back. I didn't sugarcoat it. This guy over here is going to get offended by what I say. I don't care. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. The word of God's not written for your convenience. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. And this is critical for people who think that they can, they'd be like me. I know this book. Believe me, I know it. But what if I just said, you know, I'm just going to read it to myself every day and go about my own business. You know what I'm saying? And just think about myself, self-occupation. What would happen? Listen to this.
Stop it. Read.
Okay, here's a warning from God. This is what God's saying, Ezekiel 3:18. And this is to me and this is to you. What I say, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. And thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways. If we don't warn him to save his life, the same wicked man, he's going to die in his iniquities. But his blood will I require at your hand, because you didn't try and get God's word out there. You didn't try. You just sat back and just thought about, oh, that's interesting. Well, these people that go to church once a week and they don't even read the Bible. Okay, so always remember this. Huge death in these original languages never denotes non-existence. You're going to exist. You have a spiritual conscience. That's your intellect. Your spirit just means intellect. That's the intellect of your soul. It's a closed energy system. It does not exchange physical matter. So under the laws of the Bible and the laws of thermodynamics, closed energy system, energy cannot be created or destroyed. You're going somewhere when you die. Your consciousness, your personality. It all never denotes non-existence. We have an existence with God, or we have a spiritual existence in another parts of the earth where there is no praise or presence of God somewhere. There's going to be a great separation of people.
I find it funny that people that you try to talk to about the word of God. So if I love you and you're going to walk into, say, a dangerous situation, I'm going to warn you about that. And you're going to turn around and say, thank you for not letting me go into that dangerous situation. But when I try to warn people that I love about the devil, and I try to give them a little bit of information here, it's because I love them that I do that. But yet I am met with anger.
You're met with hatred.
Yeah, anger. It's just hatred. And I don't understand that, because I'm not gonna sit here and Bible thump on you, but I'm gonna try and warn you and say, hey, look, don't go in there. The devil's in there. Don't do that. The devil's there. Turn to Jesus Christ.
The Bible does answer every logical and moral objection known to mankind. Yep. It says your mother and your father will hate you. Your sister, your brother will bring you up to death. You know, there's two different kinds of families in the Bible. The prodigal son family, where the guy's happy to see, okay, his kid's back. This is a celebration, right? And then the other kind of family, which is the majority, because they're so full of themselves, egos, and self-pride. They're just put a legacy on you because they can't forgive. They say they forgive, but they never forget it, because they need that feeling of empowerment, because they have such an inner void that they have to fill. They always have to look at you, oh, I'm going back to 2000 whatever year, and I'm never letting that go. I'm never letting that, because I have an emptiness to fill. I need a feeling of empowerment. Now listen, it's about, we have to at least say something. Okay, the people that we're referring to now are pretty much our immediate family and friends that you're talking about.
Well,
they know we've done 500 podcasts. They know that we're biblically literate. Do they come to us and ask anything? That's on them. We can wash our hands from that. It's sad. It's Dead Sea sad. It's brutally sad. But there's nothing you can do. You can't go and remember this. What's this slap in the face thing? You know? like Tucker Carlson and Vladimir Putin were talking about. Okay, Vladimir claims he's Orthodox. I don't even know what that means. It was apparently some kind of Christian thing. I'm not looking it up because I don't care. Then Tucker, he claims he's a Christian too. And so, you know, it was a great interview between Tucker Carlson and Vladimir because you could tell Vladimir is not lying compared to American officials. He just gave us a history lesson, the importance of history. If you want to destroy a citizenry, a population, erase their history. They don't know who they are anymore. He goes back to like the year 1000 or something like that and tells this is so. There's patterns, and we see patterns, and we see things repeating. Do you see what's happening? So it was great to listen to this guy, whether you like him or not. I don't like him. I don't like a tyrant, but he wasn't lying. But then Tucker tried to use a Bible verse. And he said, yeah, but Vladimir, you take a slap, you're supposed to take a slap on the other side of the face. Like, come on, man. It would have been the greatest thing if Vladimir would have said. Wouldn't it have been just epic if you would have said, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, like I'll use this analogy, right? I'm standing out front of the drugstore having a smoke, drinking a coffee, right? Just minding my own shit. And then all of a sudden, someone just comes up and smacks me in the face. What do you damn well know? It's going flick my smoke, I dump my coffee, I'm going after you. I'm not the biggest guy, I'm not the toughest guy, not even close. I'm way more trouble than it's worth. Right, Tam? I'm just saying. Okay? Yeah. So, but if I'm standing in front of the drugstore and I got this Bible in my hand, I'm saying, hey, yo, come here, listen, look, do you understand this? Like, you're a sinner. You have to listen to me. Do you know about Jesus Christ? I don't want to hear it. The guy doesn't want to hear it. And then you say, no, listen, you have to come over here. You know, I have to teach about this. You fall into this category here. He slaps you in the face for Bible thumping. You deserve another one. Jesus Christ was instructing his apostles. Hey, you're about to go out there and you have to plant the seeds of truth amongst the heathen world. So if you're Bible thumping and you get a slap in the face, take another one. But you're not a doormat. If someone just gives you a sucker punch, you kick him right in the crotch and go for it, man. Right, Tim?
Well, that would be my move, but maybe not your move.
That's a go-to move. It's 100% win. Okay, so here we go. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Try and let people know. All the people me and Tammy are talking about, they damn well know. You want to learn the Bible? Oh, they're too busy. You have your religion, I have mine. That's right. You're right. Religion just means follower of one's own beliefs. Spirit just means intellect. The word intellect's not in the Bible, but spirit is the intellect of your soul. The word information's not in the Bible. It just means light. Where do you get your light? You got your soul as an energy, your spirit's an energy. Together they make up your identity. People over there say, I don't have a soul, I don't have a spirit. You know, they're just brilliant, you know? Soul is your life force. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul. That's all there is to it. You know, always have a linear progression towards the truth, and then people they'll just turn on you. Don't worry about it. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Yeah, he laid down his life for my life. And you too, everybody. Jesus Christ, most precious in the universe, first and foremost importance in the universe, the only begotten Son, came down and took the lowest earthly position for us, innocent, not guilty, one man with no guile, no malice, no corruption, had to lay down his life for us. He walked into a torture chamber. He did it willingly, knowing full well how it was going to go down. Satan hyper-focused temptation and sin on Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not sin. Maximum torture, maximum humiliation, death of the flesh. And Jesus Christ could say, hey, Satan, you got nothing on me. That gave Jesus Christ the universal right to set up a kingdom of heaven in the millennium temple that is valid. It is legit. It is bona fide. It will not accommodate evil. It will not accommodate your ideologies outside the word of God. It will not negotiate with evil. It will not compromise with evil. Any thought patterns outside this. This is the book here. This is your institutional standards to govern ourselves that God gave us to get back into harmony with the universe. He gave his only begotten Son. That's the only one that can forgive you at a judicial level. That is universally recognized because he did not sin. He did that for us, and people marginalize it. His own blood. Once that blood spilt, now we have a kingdom of heaven that is valid, it is legit, it is bona fide, it is called the Millennium Temple. It would not be valid. If Jesus Christ sinned, then all sin would have to be in there, or we'd just be a hypocrite. Do you see what he did for us? You have to meditate on that. It took me a long time to really grasp it and then to try and articulate it to others. Like, what the most selfless act of love and compassion the universe has ever witnessed. God sent his only begotten son. A very piece of God's personal life force was in there. Yaqid in the Hebrew. My darling soul. Psalms 22, Psalms 35. Yaqid. It's such a word. I know that this, okay, after this departing, as soon as I split, man, these grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. This isn't grievous, like noisome grievous sore from the first vial. That's Caicos Poneros. That's evil, evil, noisome grievous sore, evil from in, evil actions. This is the word barous in the Greek, and it means imposing a burdensome weight. It's like, what a drag. It's like having a Bible study and then having some guy just run his mouth, or having an elder hover over me and just say, what, do you think you know more about the Bible than me? Like, how's that? Can you believe that guy said that? Like, how's that even? We're having a Bible study here. You know, like, just what a drag. Wolves in sheep's clothing that are just going to be like, okay, in the next verse. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Yeah, they walk amongst us. They've gone the way of Korah. They want to sugarcoat the word. Remember in the Jude, verse 11, Korah, Cain, and Balaam. Remember, don't overlook Balaam. He's in the Bible 63 times. And Korah's kids didn't follow Daddy. They have 13 of the most epic psalms. In the book of Psalms, I think it's 13. And don't overlook Cain, the curse on Cain. All your longings and wantings will rule over you. They're vagabonds. They're not vagabonds like in the back of a strip mall going through dumpsters. They're super genius vagabonds, man. They walk amongst us to gain trust. And they're subtle. Subtle means sly and cunning. Enchanters. Did you know that word serpent in Genesis 3 should have never been translated serpent? It's Nakash. In the Hebrew, it's onomatopoeic. It should have been translated enchanter. Here's the enchanter. And that holds, and you can look that up in the, what are those things I study from?
Lexicons.
The lexicons from the manuscripts. They walk amongst us to gain trust. Therefore, watch out. Watch out. Watch for these people. They're everywhere. They're the majority, actually. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone. Night and day with tears. I felt it. I wasn't falling off a bar stool somewhere. I was emotional and passionate. And if you have an emotional and passionate person in your family, like, take heed to that. Respect that. Don't sit there and try. Why are you so angry? You're so angry. You know, or just marginalize the people's feelings. If someone's got passion, maybe it's time to pay attention and not trying to control someone else's emotions, which happens so often. Okay, Paul with tears, like he said, he's got passion, man. And now, brother, and I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Jesus Christ is the living word, the author of salvation, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, set aside. That's our inheritance. Back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. Jesus Christ allowed it. Your Savior, your salvation, your deliverer, your redeemer, the kinsman redeemer of the whole human family. Gender, race, color of your skin means nothing in God's eyes, and it better mean nothing in your eyes, whomsoever will. We love everybody, and we want to get back to a place of peace where it's all unity. Perpetual friendship. We talk about this. Me and Tammy talk about this. The etymology of the word Jerusalem. A new Jerusalem comes down. It's not some city like over there in the Middle East. We just blow each other up all the time. It's etymology of that word Jerusalem. A place of peace beyond our present comprehension. Where you can look at everybody. A billion people. And you can trust every single one. Knowing it's perpetual friendship. We've come to an understanding of each other. Sacrificing for each other. Loving each other. That's how God created us. Until one third of us fell. And we want to get back there. And it still takes another 1,000 years. In the Millennium Temple. Get yourself in the Millennium Temple. Because if you end up on the hillside. We talked about that. At Great White Throne Judgment. Mm-hmm. What are your chances? And you've exhausted your caregiver. We pray for you, done podcasts for you. You've supported this ministry, just like supported the Shepherd's Chapel back in the 90s. If people didn't support Pastor Al Murray, we wouldn't be here today. It was Pastor Al Murray's Bible study would have never left his kitchen table if people didn't come by and start paying money to get God's word out there. He bought that satellite dish And he was there for me in 1996 when I had to look up to see hell. Wasn't Pastor Al Murray. That was his spot in the main member body of Christ. It was people like you supporting Pastor Al Murray. Or he would just, it would just been a, you know, a dinner table or a kitchen table Bible study.
You supported him.
Yeah, I did. After I heard the word.
Yeah, you sent money and you...
Thousands. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much I sent. I did what... I feel guilty for not sending more. Doesn't matter. I'm trying to make up for it now. But I did send.
Yeah, I know.
Tons. And bought, you know, like 500 cassette tapes, which I studied for solid decade. You know, and I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You got nothing on me. Your shiny things in your bank account means less than nothing to me. Shiny things becomes people's identity now. And they look at other people. Mikey, what happened to all your shiny things? That Cadillac just looks like a piece of shit now. Well, yeah, because I don't care anymore. It's not my identity, right? My identity is the Lord Jesus Christ. I set myself aside. I sanctified. I signaled to God and signaled to others. I'm a man of God, and I am there for the whole human family, for whomsoever will. Set yourself aside. You got nothing on me. All your stuff means less than nothing. Up here, it means everything to these people. Their identity is just empty.
That's not just
it's
up
empty
here.
As an empty canoe, an empty minivan, whatever. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto the necessities and to them that are with me. Why? Because, okay, Paul is a tent maker. He had every right to take money and study more. But Paul had a lot to prove because he started his career persecuting Christian people. Remember? So we remember that. We don't rub his face in it. Like, as it's written, he was a chosen vessel and so are you. Paul proving that he had no ulterior motive for personal gain. You're a chosen vessel too. God has chosen you to hear this perfect, precious word and help glorify, magnify, and get the message of Christ's love out there to a hurting world. All of us are chosen vessels. It's up to you. Do you recognize your task and role in the many member body of Christ? Or are you just like, oh, that was nice. I'm going to watch Netflix for the next 8 hours. Right? It's up to you. You govern yourself accordingly. And you reap what you sow. No, you sow what you reap. You sow what you reap.
You reap what you sow.
Oh, you reap what you sow.
You had it right the first time.
And I showed you all things that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and just remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. You know, you can't take nothing with you into heaven. You own nothing up there, but you have everything. Hey, well, I don't know what these people think. They're so protective of their stuff. You know, like, listen, man. No matter how big of a star you think you are, you're going to die at the most inconvenient time. Fate won't negotiate with you. Like, what are people hoarding all their stuff for? Especially the baby boomer generation. Like, hoarding millions of dollars in their bank accounts.
I know.
Dude, you're going to choke it back sooner or later. And we all are, because this is a flash of time. A flash in the pan. Think about infinity forward, infinity back. Why are you collecting things? Because your self-worth is based on the emptiness of the material world. And we pray for you. We pray for you. And when he had thus spoken this, he kneeled down and prayed, and they all came around, gave him a big hug, and then they, you know, escorted him to his ship. That's a really emotional chapter. I want to thank you very much for watching. Have yourself the greatest day, and bye for
God
now.
God bless you.